In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please join me in the suffrages on page 140. Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy upon us. Christe eleison, Christ, have mercy upon us. Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. O Lord, save our rulers. Let them hear us when we call. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also and lift them up forever. Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. Let us pray for those of the faith who are not present with us. Save your servants who trust in you. Let us pray for the brokenhearted and the captives. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all their troubles. Send them help from the sanctuary and strengthen them out of Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come before you. The scripture reading before us this morning is taken from Paul's second letter to Timothy, the first chapter beginning with verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Here ends our reading. I was a junior in high school. It was April 30th, 1975, which some say marks the end of the Vietnam War. It became known as the Great Fall of Saigon. And that day, here in America, we had images of thousands of people flocking to the U.S. Embassy to try to seek refuge and get out of that country as it had fallen, the city had fallen into enemy hands. Thousands of U.S. citizens and even South Vietnamese were waiting on an outdoor staircase to the top roof of the U.S. Embassy there in Saigon as helicopters dropped down to rescue them and lift them away and take them off to U.S. ships. It was quite a picture. It made you truly appreciate what an embassy is all about, and the protection that they had there until the city collapsed. The United States presently has more than 250 embassies around the world. We have 10 just in Mexico. We have 9 in Russia. We have 8 in France. There are close to 50 just in the continent of Africa. And these are special compounds or places that provide help and assistance to U.S. citizens. And especially if you're ever traveling or working in a foreign country, it is very important to know where these embassies are because they can often be such a safe haven, especially if you're in a land where there's a lot of hostility to the United States. they can be a very safe haven. The most important thing that you will do in your life is establish a Christian home. And if the Lord chooses to bless you with being a parent, the work that you will do as a Christian mother or father is essential to understand from God's perspective. And God would have you view your role as a Christian parent in the future as someone who establishes by His grace a heavenly embassy in your home. A place where God's word can reign supreme and be taught to your children, even in a very hostile land that goes against that faith. St. Paul speaks about such glowing terms regarding the genuine faith, he says, that he sees alive now in this young Timothy, this young pastor who had helped him on some of his missionary work. And he especially highlights the role of Timothy's mother and grandmother and the work that they did in bringing him up in the knowledge of Christ. Heaven's embassies are always established around the Word of God. You cannot have an embassy for heaven without the Word of God. In the shelter of that Christian home, even in a land which was running very contrary to Christianity at the time in present-day Turkey, young Timothy was brought up, and we're told in another text that was read earlier this week about him, "From infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Through regular training in God's Word, this little boy had grown up to know his Savior, taught to see his own sinfulness through the commandments and the law of God, that his hope of heaven could never depend on himself, but then brought to the wonderful knowledge of Christ our Savior, who shed his blood for all of our sins and forgives us. Paul Kretzmann, a commentator, says, when it comes to being Christian parents, "Impress God's word upon your children while they are still in the plastic state." I like that, while they're still in the plastic state. The first night that I had any lengthy conversation with my wife, it was right here on Bethany's campus. One of the things that helped attract me to her, besides other things, but one of the things that helped attract me to her was the fact that she mentioned to me that in her childhood, her father had regularly read family devotions around their dinner table. That connected with me and clicked with me because it reminded me of my own upbringing. There were many times when my mom, likewise at night, would come and tuck me in and say prayers with me and sing a hymn and so on. Those are some of the greatest memories that I treasure now of her as a Christian parent. And we should never look lowly upon these little ways that the parents in the home instill this faith in their children's heart. It is essential, and it has such lasting, everlasting results. There were a lot of times I would rather be out playing with my friends or tinkering with my G.I. Joes, but looking back on those extra minutes our family now spent in devotions around the Word of Christ, I now appreciate them all the more as an adult. Each day God's Word would help filter out the problems of life, and we would be brought again back to our baptisms through repentance and hearing of God's grace and forgiveness, and it kept us so heavenly focused. Our United States embassies sit beneath the flag of Old Glory around the world. Heavenly embassies that God has established are founded underneath the cross of Christ. But because that cross flies atop of Christian homes, it means it will be a target and under attack in this foreign land that is so hostile to him. And so it'll take great diligence on your part as a parent to bring up your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'd ask you to take out your hymn book again. Turn to page 136 to the final portion of the baptismal rite. Page 136. And up at the top you will see the admonition that is asked of parents. And I just like to refer to that and read through it. You don't have to respond since your child is not here to be baptized today, but just to see the weapons that God gives you, the tools that He gives you in bringing your child up in the faith. "Dear Christian friends, through the washing of regeneration, your child has become a child of God and joint heir of everlasting life with Jesus Christ. As witness to this sacrament, you are to assist him with Christian love and faithful prayers. Remind her of the heavenly grace of her baptism. Give spiritual counsel and aid that he is brought up in the true knowledge and worship of God. Teach her the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer. Place in his hands the Holy Scriptures and ensure that he is brought to the services of God's house, that he is provided future instruction in the Christian faith, to the end that he may come to the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. And thus, abiding in baptismal grace and in communion with the church, he may lead a godly life to the praise and honor of Jesus Christ. I remember years ago asking that question to one of the Christian fathers as he stood there as his child was being baptized. And as I looked up at him for his answer, I remember seeing him tearing up and starting to cry. And afterwards, when we were taking pictures, I said to him, "Why did you start to tear up? Was there something wrong?" And he said, "It just suddenly hit me what an enormous task this really is." But God doesn't want you to go into it being afraid. He has equipped you with his word and sacrament, where he promises to bless your efforts as a future mother or father in the Christian home. And may he help you. Our prayer is that he will help you to establish another heavenly embassy in the future. Amen. Please join me in the final portion of the suffrages on page 141, which will include the benediction. And let us rise. Restore us, O God of hosts, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Arise for our help, O Christ, and redeem us from your mercy's sake. O Lord, incline your ear to me, answer me speedily when I call. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. You may be seated for the closing hymn.
Thank you.